And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And alert the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine.
You look like the vermin-ridden son of a bitch you are.
A podcast for everyone in the good old USA and all around the world.
Over there, send the word over there.
Quality booze and country music at its best.
So you're saying, can you set my country music award on fire?
The music, nice and loud.
What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly.
You can email the show at bootsandwhiskeypodcast@gmail.com. That's bootsandwhiskeypodcast@gmail.com.
It's just swimming with bow-legged women.
All social media can be found at Boots and Whiskey Podcast. The show is great, even if you're sober. Well,
my advice to you, start drinking heavily.
Jim loves his music and his whiskey.
A real woman could stop you from drinking.
You have to be a real big woman.
This is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle. Great music, great booze, and fun, even for you non-drinkers.
Y'all want to drink whiskey? I'd like a Coca-Cola in a clean glass.
Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey everyone, Jim here, Boots and Whiskey Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in today. As you can tell by the title, we have Cosette Smith on the show with us today. This has been an episode that's been kind of lingering here for us for a little while, for a lot of reasons, schedulings on our end, all kinds of things. But anyway, we finally got her on the show. We talked to her at a time that we didn't know the whole Tractor Supply Company emerging artist thing was happening or that she was involved with it. So it was not discussed in this episode. So we're going to have to get her back to talk about that stuff when that's all over. But if you follow her on social media, pretty much right now, it looks like everything for that top five thing she's a part of started today. Kat and Alex is her coach, I don't know what the proper English there is at the moment, but yeah, so Kat and Alex is her mentor. They are her mentor. I'm not sure how I feel about any of that, what I just said, but anyway, so she's doing that. This conversation was very wholesome, very fun. Her story is in freaking credible. I feel bad swearing because she's so sweet. And I slipped up and swore a little bit in this episode, you know, like I always do. But Cosette is so sweet, so sweet. I can't even get over it. So a big thank you to her. A big congratulations to her for the Tractor Supply Company Top 5 Emerging Artist honor. I think that's huge for her. I think she deserves it tremendously. There's a lot of people, a lot of friends of ours that were a part of that, and a lot of our friends that were in the top 10. And I can't tell you, everyone in the top 10 for this thing could have been the winner of this thing, or however really they're doing it. Absolutely fantastic group of singers and songwriters. So anyway, before we get into the show, as you know, it is CMA Fest week down in Nashville. So if you're down there and you got some cool stuff, send it our way. We'll post it. We'll give you credit for it. We'd love to see some of those pictures. Always use the hashtag Boots and Whiskey Podcast for anything like that. And, we'd be happy to pass it along for you. What else we got going on? We saw Walker Hayes over the weekend. What do I say about that other than fascinating? Absolutely fascinating. We had a great time. It was very entertaining, I will say that. But it was not a country music show. The only part of that whole show that was country music was Ray Fulcher, and he opened the show. And you know us. We absolutely love Ray. A big shout out to Ray for all he's done for us and the help over the weekend. So, Ray, thank you so much for that. And then there was Ingrid Andres. I always fuck up her name. Always. So I apologize for that. Again, more of a pop sound. But, you know, her songs are definitely country music based on the lyrics and the storytelling and all that. So, you know, not bad. She was great too. And then Walker Hayes, again, entertaining as all hell. But you can tell he's this whole, you know, roller coaster of fame going from, you know, 0 to 60 very much overnight with the success of Fancy Like. I think he's still not used to it. His stage presence, you know, it was funny because my wife said something that I'm not going to repeat, but about him, but it was true. Like he's like that family member that, you know, that silly uncle that, you know, everybody just wants to, you know, spend time with. You know, he's the one that's always playing with the kids and, you know, playing quarterback for the football and, you know, and not in like a weird way. Oh my God, I'm shooting myself in the foot. Anyway, Walker Hayes was very entertaining. If you have young kids or, you know, preteens that are into music or anything like that, take them to a Walker Hayes show. It is so family friendly. You know, we kept saying that, you know, we would have brought our boys to that show and had a great time. It was definitely a family friendly concert. You know, very, very good. Very good, Walker Hayes. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not sure I would see him again. But I'm glad I did. And from what I understand and from what I've gathered with his songs, you know, he's got some great country music songs prior to the whole Fancy Like, you know, thing. And, you know, some of those great country songs he played, but he put a pop, you know, pop music, you know, top 40, kick to it. And I wasn't sure how I felt about that. There's only a few country music artists that have done that successfully. And I'm not sure that, Walker wants to go down that road, but I guess maybe he does. Who knows? But again, thank you to Live Nation, Ray Fulcher, the Leader Bank Pavilion for, you know, having us. Very gracious of you. Thank you. Thank you all so, so much. We love coming to shows and then telling y'all about it. So thank you for that. But without further ado, guys, I know I've kind of gone on about Walker Hayes and everything else, but I just want to, one more thing before we get into Cassette Smith. We want to thank Anthony and their Dirt Road FM team so much. For those of you that haven't heard, the station went off the air over the weekend. That's why you did not hear us this week on Monday for your sneak peek. The Dirt Road FM station has closed its doors. So, you know, very sad for us. We very much enjoyed working with them and being a part of that family. But with that being said, if you have an independent country radio station and you want to carry our show, you know, reach on out. We would love to partner with somebody else and get our show out to even more people than we already do. So thank you so much again for them. And now that we've gone on and on and on for this intro, you know, but a lot of things we just said had to be said. So, you know, we don't ever do long intros like this. Maybe we will going forward. Who knows? We'll see how the weeks go. You know how we go here. Every week's a new adventure here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. So thank you so much for everybody for tuning in. If it's your first time here, go like us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Our link tree is in our bios on everything. Everything is right there. Thank you so much for tuning in. Without further ado, our dear friend, the sweetest, sweetest young lady that we've ever had on this show, Cassette Smith. Enjoy. We want to give a big shout out to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts at 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. They have the best food, the best music around. You will not go wrong. Go to their website, offtherailsworcester.com. You can see their lineup of shows. You can see their menu. You can see the local talent they have. Absolute fantastic people. We love being a part of the Off the Rails family, and we love having them being part of our family. Thank you so much to Off the Rails. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
Hello, hello.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Did that work once you uninstalled?
Yeah, I uninstalled it, and then I just had to, it's letting me do it like on the internet, not on the app for some reason. So
yeah. It's funny because when I first started using this, it was, it was recommended to download the app, and now everybody that downloads the app can't get in. So it's,
oh.
I gotta change all the verbiage now, but that's fine.
Yeah, at least it works.
Yeah. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
This is what you're getting. Laid back.
Woo-hoo.
Nothing fancy. No bells, no whistles. No, not even
perfect.
Questions, for God's sake.
I know. It's fun.
So actually, we have some very important business we have to address before we start this.
Okay.
Okay. Now, and I mean this in all sincerity, and I'm not being a jerk. Have I been pronouncing your name wrong for my entire adult life?
Oh my gosh, you scared me for a second with what you were going to say. Tell me how you pronounce it.
So, all right. So I'm going to go back to my high school days and the first time I read Les Mis.
Uh-huh.
And to me, it's Cosette.
Okay. It is. Since it's French, there's a couple different options. I pronounce my name Cosette.
Okay.
Yes, but if you were in France, you'd probably say Cosette, like with a Z sound.
Oh.
But since we're in the United States, S says S, so we're just going to, I say Cosette.
Okay. All right. Cool.
But yeah, cool. I get all kinds of weird things.
Because honestly, I can't tell you how many times I have seen your name in print in this section, and I'm like, I'm not even going to try.
Well, now you know.
That's perfect. Awesome. Well, thank you for that clarification, and I'm glad we started off on the right foot.
Yeah, no problem.
So, like I told you before, like, this is about you. This is your show. I want to know about you. I'll be fully transparent, and I'm starting to be a little more transparent with this show. I don't do any digging on you beforehand. Like, I know about you, right?
Yeah.
I've heard your music. I know enough, but I don't.
So I'll basically just like introduce myself for the first time as if we've never met. Okay.
Absolutely. Like we, we walked into a bar and I was like, hey, Cosette, how are you?
My husband always makes fun of me because I do pronounce my name like that to people. And they're like, okay, what's your name? I'm like, Cosette, because it's just so hard. But yes. Hi, I'm Cosette. Like I just said, I'm married to my husband. It's almost been 8 years.
Congratulations. No.
Yes. And then I have two little boys. I have a 2.5-year-old and a 7-month-old, almost 8-month-old.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And
oh, my
it's
God.
So much fun.
Yeah.
We live in Southern California. And so some non-musical stuff first. My husband is a medical student, and he's just about to graduate. He just matched to his residency program. So we're super excited. That's the latest news. It just happened on Friday.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
He's going to be a doctor.
Yes. So he's going to be.
So
the residency that he matched to is family medicine. It's kind of broad. He could be, just your typical family medicine doctor, like pediatrician or, just your primary care.
Sure.
But he's not super into that. He might want to, do like some med spas or maybe do like sports med. I don't know. There's lots of options. So anyway, we live in Cyprus right now. It's like northern. It's the most northern probably part of Orange County.
Okay.
And we're about to move out to Temecula, which is, I think it's Riverside County. But we're still staying in Southern California. So that's our latest excitement.
Now, did you get hit with any of that snow that came through not too long ago?
Oh, actually, I wasn't home, so I wasn't paying attention. But apparently we did get a little snow at our house. I didn't see it.
Okay.
But my sister lives in Huntington Beach, like 5 minutes from the beach. And I guess it snowed at her house.
Oh, shit.
I know. I'm like, how does that? I don't know how that happens, but it's getting crazy, the weather.
Well, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. So I'm in New England, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm about an hour plus south of Boston. I'm about 20 north of Providence, Rhode Island.
Uh-huh.
And we got almost 0 inches of snow this year.
Oh, what? That's so weird.
Like, I mean, we got some, you know, a little bit, you know, a couple of a coating to an inch here and there.
Yeah, but normally you guys get a decent amount, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Typically the month of February, it's like a major storm every week, but you know, knock on wood, we didn't see, you know, really anything this year. It was awesome.
Yeah, that's nice for you guys.
You know, I mean, I work for a landscape company that plows, so it kind of sucked for us.
Oh, but, shoot.
But, you know, it was, I can't stand the snow, so it was great. You know,
yeah.
We were unseasonably warm this year, too. Like, you know, some days were in the 40s, some days were in the 50s. It was bizarre.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, I cannot handle the snow and the cold either. No. I mean, I live in Southern California right now, but I grew up in Arizona. So, you know, super sunny, warm. And then I went to college at BYU, Idaho, in Rexburg, Idaho. And it was so cold. It was so awful. One year, it snowed in June.
Oh,
and
nope.
No thanks.
That's when it's like I pack my stuff and I'm like, all right, I'm out of here.
Yeah, you're like, no. Yeah,
it not, for,
not
me.
For me. So yeah, so I was really grateful that we get to continue living in nice weather for the next few years. And I'm glad you guys had a warm winter.
Yeah,
that's good. That's good.
Well, that's awesome. So now I'm not gonna venture to guess how old you are because I think that's rude.
Well, but just go ahead. Just for fun. Right. You won't hurt my feelings.
Just for fun. If you're not 30, you're probably close.
Yes, I'm 28.
Okay, that was my original guess. But
good guess.
All right, cool.
I mean, once I've said I've been married for 8 years, there has to be...
Yeah,
you know.
There's got right. It's like, I know you're not 22 because that's there's a lot of questions that we need to call your parents at that point.
Yeah, but I actually, people who meet me, I was at church on Sunday yesterday. And someone, I don't know why, but they're like, my daughter, who's probably like 8 or 10 years old, was like, was wondering how old you are. How old are you? I'm like, oh, I'm 28. She's like, oh my gosh, really? I thought you were like 23 or 22. So when people meet me, they do usually have that kind of impression. But I do have two little kids. So at this point, it's like, you know, you have to be.
You know, it's funny because like when I was going through some of your stuff and like some of the things you've sent me and the promo stuff and all that, and I'm like, how old is this girl? And then it's like, and then I'm like, I see your husband and your kids. And I'm like, all right, so she's got to be at least.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's so bizarre because like, I can't tell you, you know, and this is probably people that are listening at home are like, this is the creepiest conversation ever.
oh my gosh. It's not like that.
But like, right. But like, I've had, you know, young singers on here. And, you know, I get to the point where, you know, at the end of the show, we'll talk about your favorite whiskey of choice. And like, they'll be like, oh, I'm 16. And I'm like, what?
You're like pretend I didn't ask.
Right. Pretty much. And it's like, oh, damn. Like, I'm sorry.
Well, I'll save you on that question. I don't drink.
What?
I never have. And
never?
I don't. No. So... Yeah.
Wow, we're going backwards tonight, and this is weird. I like this, but no, I sound shocked, but I shouldn't because there's a lot of that right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a lot of, especially a lot of artists I've talked to. They're like, "Oh yeah, I don't drink," and I'm like, "Oh, sorry," you know, and like some people get really offended and upset, you know.
Oh,
but,
really?
Yeah.
Like they get offended by you asking if they drink.
Yeah, I think so because being in the industry and being, you know, in country music, I kind of just, I know it's probably a bad assumption, but I just assume that everybody has a drink of choice. I mean.
No, I don't think that's a bad assumption considering all the songs that are about alcohol.
Right.
Know, I mean, it's like kind of a staple of country music. So, yeah, so I totally get that. And yeah, that's one part of the, you know, the country music world that I feel like I really just don't fit in just because of that. Cause I don't drink, but I guess I'm not the only one.
No, No. Do
so
you,
that's cool.
Do you not drink for a certain reason, or do you just never appeal? I'm not to like dig deep, but this is what
no,
this
I don't
is.
Mind at all. Yeah, I don't mind. Ask away. Yeah, no, I don't drink. Because religious values and okay. beliefs. Yeah, I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Oh, all right. I don't have a clue what that is, but that's awesome.
Well, what if I said Mormon?
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Oh, yeah. I mean, you're probably going to hate this, but I've seen the Book of Mormon on Broadway a couple times.
So oh, nice. Yeah. No, I don't hate that. That's so funny. That's actually how a lot of people know of the church. That's a lot of people. That's the only way they've ever heard of it is because sure. they're like, oh, yeah, the Book of Mormon musical.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So anyway, the church chooses to call, like, that's the full name is the name that I had originally said, but
sure.
you know, I know that, like, kind of a street church name for it
yeah.
is like the Mormon church. Anyway, yeah, we don't drink, and so that was kind of the initial thing. Is I grew up in that church, and it's just one of the values. And as an adult, I just continue to choose not to. I think maybe just kind of your whole life, just knowing right. that maybe that's something you don't do. I just don't have much of like a interest in it. And not to get like kind of dark, but you know, I've seen some people get kind of, you know, their lives kind of get messed up pretty bad, you know?
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
With drinks and drugs and whatever. And you just don't know if you're going to be the person who, you know, becomes addicted or like has issues
sure.
with it.
Yeah,
so I'm
absolutely.
Like, I'm good. But you know, hey, all yeah. respect to the people who that's, you know, their thing and their Saturday night fun.
Oh,
you know?
Hell yeah, absolutely. You know, I gotta say, I appreciate the hell out of you to bring up that, you know, your religious views and opinions and all that.
Oh, thanks.
Because a lot of people don't, and like, you know, me, I don't care either way. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Yeah.
Like I said, like, you know, this is your time to tell your story. You know what uh-huh. what I think. You know, it doesn't really matter. But
I care what you think.
Well, I mean, you know, being in the Northeast, you know, like it's all Irish Catholic.
Hey, everyone. Don't forget about our other partner, the DCU Center, dcucenter.com. Go there for all of their things that are coming. They have concerts. They have hockey. They have indoor football. They have everything you would want for entertainment right here in central Massachusetts. Whether you're local or not, come and check them out. DCU Center, 50 Foster Street in Worcester. Check them out. You won't be disappointed.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? And uh-huh. honestly, I think the last time I went to church was when my youngest got baptized, and that was when he was a year old. So that would have been in 2020. So.
Okay. So you how old is that a boy or girl?
We have three boys. So
oh
I
my
have
gosh.
My stepson. By the time this comes out, his birthday will probably have come and gone, and he'll be 13.
Oh, wow.
And then I have a 7-year-old. From a previous relationship, and then my mm-hmm. wife and I have a 3-year-old.
Oh, so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a madhouse here every
yeah.
other weekend.
I bet. You had like a COVID baby too.
Yeah, we had our baby came in October of 2019.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. I mean, realistically, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because by the time we were comfortable enough to get him out into the world, you know,
yeah,
because by the time we
all
had
of a sudden
him,
yeah
right it was winter, and like we're not going to mm-hmm. bring our infant out into the middle of the cold
yeah
and by the time it was ready for him to get out into the world, the world was shut down.
Yep.
Know?
Yep.
It was wild. So yeah, you know, it's taken us a little while for him to kind of get out of that COVID shell. Not you know really
yeah. I know it. That was such a pain. I mean, yeah. I had my first in August of 2020. So, you know, we were like, while I was pregnant, we were kind of freaking out. Like, you know, my husband's like, okay, you stay home. Only I'm going to go to the grocery store, like stuff
yeah.
like that. Cause, you know, we were like all scared. But then by the time I had my son, it was kind of like, you know, we kind of knew better how to like, you know, live and
yeah.
manage the things. And so it wasn't so bad, but you know, things were just closed and whatever.
Yeah,
but anyway,
you know,
oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because it's funny. So we had the baby in 2019, and then mm-hmm. I had just so happened to get laid off in December. So I was like home for a good couple of months. And then I went back to work in February of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah, in February 2020. And then obviously I got laid off again in March.
Oh,
and then
gosh.
So I was pretty much home his first full year. It was actually pretty great.
Yeah, which is actually amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was quite the blessing, that's for sure. As much as the whole time sucked, you know, with not knowing what was going on, it was, I wouldn't have changed it for the world, that's for sure.
That's good. I'm glad. Yeah. It's nice that you got to have that time for his first year.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was really great. Now, so how long have you been doing the music thing? Is it something you've been doing your whole life?
About the music. It's kind of always been just like a thing for me, you know. But realistically, so when I was like 10 or 11, I'm young for my grade, so I think I was probably 10 or 11 or something when I was going into, or maybe 11, when I was going into seventh grade. And there was a audition for the advanced drama class, the advanced acting class in seventh grade. So I don't know why, I had like a desire to go ahead and audition for that. I had never done anything that having to do with performing arts at all. And so I went and just found like a little scene from Legally Blonde and just like performed that for my audition. And I got into that class, and in there I met some other girls who were in this dance studio in town that did, the studio had like singing, dancing, acting. Mm-hmm. And so that was my first experience with performing. And I did a lot of, that's where I kind of realized like, oh, okay, like I'm a singer. I was do a lot of the belt, like I learned how to belt and do all that kind of stuff in there. And that was fun. And then just, you know, did choir in high school and did community musicals, and that just continued throughout high school. I started taking voice lessons, like private voice lessons as well in high school, and that's when I started doing like classical training and opera style training. And I didn't have, it wasn't like I was looking for that necessarily, but this man, Brandon Stewart, moved into our town, which I grew up in Gilbert, Arizona. So that's the town that he moved into. And the word was like spreading around like wildfire, like, oh my gosh, this guy just moved here and he just graduated from Juilliard and he's amazing and whatever. And so it was like, oh, you got to get in and do voice lessons and he also taught piano lessons. So I went to him, and that was just his style of teaching, you know, because he came from Juilliard. So I don't know, I guess that's what they do there. And so from there, I went to BYU, Idaho, like I said, and I got my degree in music, in singing, and I continued like the classical and opera type style training there. And while I was there, I also started singing with this group called Cinematic Pop, which we still do stuff every once in a while. But this man named Rob Gardner started this group, and it's like a full choir, full orchestra. And then there's me and a couple other soloists that always perform and record. And then we'll have some guest soloists every now and again, which is so fun and was like a really great experience for me, because I was able to perform for like these big crowds with, you know, a full, like it is the best thing and the most like wonderful sound and feeling to have like a full choir and orchestra behind you. It's so fun. So he puts pop songs, like some of the songs I sing are Take On Me, More Than a Feeling, Friday I'm in Love by The Cure. Like there's all these random songs, and he'll orchestrate it to fit this choir orchestra and a soloist. So anyway, that in a nutshell is a background of some music stuff. Oh, and I also was on American Idol for like 1 second when I was 16. People always think that's interesting, so I thought I'd add that little blip.
That is interesting. So what do you mean for a second?
Like barely. Like I got the golden ticket. Yeah. So like at the time, you'd go and do the big cattle call audition.
Yeah.
And then there was that one, and then two more auditions And then the fourth audition was in front of the judges, like the TV one that everybody sees. So, okay. And that's where you get the golden ticket. So I did that audition. At the time, it was Steven Tyler, Randy Jackson, and J-Lo were the judges.
Okay.
And I will never forget that J-Lo was like, I love your voice. It's so beautiful. That will always be like, I'll always be like, I don't care what anybody says because J-Lo likes my voice.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then Steven Tyler told me, oh, I think you need to go get your heart broken and come back. Like, okay, well, thanks for the advice. But anyway, okay. So I got the golden ticket, went to Hollywood Week, got through like one round there. And then the next round was the group rounds. And my group just totally like biffed it so bad. Oh. It was kind of hilarious. But so the whole group got cut. But I actually still keep in touch with a couple of the girls from that group. Good. Yeah.
That's amazingly. Awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the story. And I'll just wrap it up real quick. The way that I got to country, you're probably wondering. I've always loved country. And I used to listen to it as a little kid. You know, like I got that really sweet 90s country era. Like the Dixie Chicks and Toby Keith. My favorite song as a little kid was I Should Have Been a Cowboy.
Nice.
It's such a good one. And so I think I didn't go for it for so long because there's so many haters on country music.
There is. Yep.
And I let that get to me. Like, I won't lie. A lot of the things that I haven't done in my life have just because I'm worried about what everybody else is thinking about me.
Oh, don't be like that. Screw everybody else.
That's the thing, finally I was able to get past that, you know?
Good. And I'm like, you're co-set. You can do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Get it right. Co-set. I wanted to say that too, because I think that's the case for a lot of people is it's like, you know, you don't want to seem like a try hard, or you don't want to seem like whatever it may be, whatever the thing is that you're insecure about. It's like, it is so freeing to be able to just let go of that and just do the thing that you really feel called to do. And it brings so much joy. So anyway, I finally went for it. And so now this is what you see is just me trying to go for it currently.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny because it's like, you know, I'm sure, you know, because we all seem to have it, you know, that there had to have been a form of anxiety for you too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's, you know, you, even if you have like this desire to do something, not thinking that you have the support or the backing to do it, you know, that's nerve-wracking.
Yeah, and like my family and my friends, I feel like, you know, I've got a lot of positive like support or positive reinforcement from people. Sure. But I think there's just also that stigma that every musician kind of has to get over if they care about it, I guess, is just the whole idea of telling someone like, oh yeah, I'm a singer or I'm a musician. It's like, what? Like, okay, right. But what's your real job? You know?
Right. Yeah.
And so I think that's always a hard thing too, to get past is realizing like, this can be a real career and a real thing. And it's not like only Britney Spears and Mariah Carey and only like, you know, some people will make it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's room for a lot of people in the music industry, even though it is so saturated and there's a lot of people in it. The more I've gotten into it and explored it and seen what there is to offer, there's so many different avenues, I feel like, of being a musician and having that as a career.
Yeah.
I think that getting over that whole idea, too, of telling someone, like, oh, yeah, I'm a musician. It's like, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah. Now, are you fortunate enough where you can do music as your career?
So, yeah. So that's the other part of it, right? Is it's like it costs money usually.
Yeah, yeah.
And are you making money? Probably not really much, at least for the first while.
Right.
So the way that I've been doing it. So like I said, my husband's been in medical school, so we've had like negative money. We're like going into debt, you know, for medical school.
Sure.
And the first couple years, I worked.
There's one thing I have learned through all of these episodes we have done, especially with our guests in the South, Nashville, Texas, anywhere in those parts. Here in New England, we are missing Southern fare and hospitality like you can't even imagine. But right now, fear not, we have the Porch Southern Fare and Juke Joint up in Medford, Massachusetts, just a little north of Boston. If you're in the area or coming to visit the city, go check them out. They're at 175 Rivers Edge Drive. That's in Medford, Massachusetts. Again, check out their website, theporchsouthern.com. They have live music. They have the best food in New England. I'm going to just say it right now. The best food in New England for that Southern hospitality, that Southern fare. You won't want to miss it. Our friend Jonathan Post is the chef and owner of The Porch. Great dude. Glad to be working with them. Check them out again, theporchsouthern.com.
But, you know, it's like kind of mostly to fund our lives. Yeah. And so that was another thing that held me back for a while. Then I had my kids, or I had my first. And then while I was pregnant with my second, I was just like, I have to do this. And like, I have to do it now.
Yeah.
Like I talked to, somebody, like, I don't know, it was like a counselor or like a life coach or something. Like I had a conversation with them and they're like, okay, so why now? Like think about, not to try and convince me otherwise, but just to genuinely get me to think about it. Like, okay, why do you need to do it right now while you don't necessarily have the funds to do it? And in a few years, your husband will be a doctor and you will have the funds to do it. So why don't you wait? And I'm just like, I don't know, but I feel like I have to do it right now. Like for me, it feels like it's something that kind of, I think I've heard a lot of people say this that are in the arts or whatever. They'll be like, I feel like God put this on my heart is like a term that I've heard people say.
Right.
And I felt like that resonated with me a lot. I was like, yes, I feel like God put this in me. And I even had like, there was a moment where I was just feeling so frustrated because I'm like, I feel so like I want to do this so bad, but I have no idea how or what to do. Like, I don't know anything about this industry. I don't know how to move forward. And I just had a moment where I just prayed and I was like, God, like, I feel like you gave this to me and you want me to do this. And what do you want from me? Like, I feel totally torn. I feel like I'm in a place where I have no clue how to move forward. Like, I'm willing to do whatever it is that you want me to do. Like, help, you know, help me make this happen. And after that, so what ended up happening for me to get started on this was last summer, I hosted a concert. So my parents still live in Gilbert and they live in this farm neighborhood. So they have some extra land. And so I know a lot of more musicians over there. Like I have a lot more connections in Gilbert than I do out here in California.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put on a backyard concert in my parents' backyard and I charged for tickets and all my artists were so great. I ended up being able to pay them a bit, but at the first I was like, hey, I've never done this. I don't know how much money I'm going to make. And I don't really have, I don't think I can pay you. Like, are you down to do this even for free? And they were so awesome. And they all like just bared with me because it was a full on learning experience for me. But I ended up making, oh, and I got sponsors too to help me do it so that I could still make a profit, which was super great.
Yeah.
So I ended up making a couple grand from doing that.
That's awesome.
And then, yeah, it was like, it was awesome. I was like, wow, I never would have thought of doing this before, but it worked out super well. And then, you know, and then we all got those stimulus checks, right? From
right.
COVID.
Yeah.
So, well, we didn't all, I guess, but we got some. And so I think one of them we hadn't used. And so my husband and I talked and he's like, yeah, you know, put it towards your music stuff. So then I had a little bit of that. And then my husband has been a huge support to me, which is, he's so great. And he sold, I'm trying to remember, I think some money came from this too. He had a dirt bike that he had had since he was like, I don't know, probably 15 or something, and a trailer. He and his brother had those. And we rent his parents' house right now. Like, that's where we live, is the house he grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
So it was here, the dirt bikes and the trailer were here, and they both sold all that stuff. And so I think he gave me, maybe gave me some of the money from that sale too. I can't remember. But somehow I had enough money to go ahead and start on two songs. And so I was looking around on social media for producers, because I'm like, I wanted to find someone who knew country, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And I had no idea who that was. I couldn't find anybody in Arizona through my connections. I couldn't find anybody out here like in LA. You know, I was like, okay, I got to go to Nashville. I really want this to be like legit. So I found Sal Oliveri on Instagram, like through some other people. Mm-hmm. And he was so awesome. I love him. I've done like, I'm trying to think. I think I've done three songs with him now, but my first two, maybe he doesn't want me to say this because I don't know, but he gave me a deal on them. And I was super grateful. So that made it so I could get two songs done. My mom went out to Nashville with me because I was 7 months pregnant. I was like, I'm too scared to go by myself. And my mother-in-law watched my kid, or my first son. I only had one at the time, and my husband was busy in school. So it was like a total, it was just like a total group effort, like so much support to go out there and get these songs done. And then, yeah, just from there, I've been doing a lot of gigs like around town, just like, you know, restaurant gigs and stuff like that. And, I teach voice lessons. And so I told my husband, it was like his last year. It's been like his last year of school. So I'm like, you know what? We're already in the hole, like so much from school, like the extra, you know, $1,000, maybe not even that I would make a month from this stuff. Like, what difference is it really going to make? Can I just keep using it for like my music stuff?
Right.
And he's like, you know, kind of reluctantly, I think, but he's like, yeah, you know, I'm like, I've been working for our family this whole time. All the money has gone to our family. I'm like, and I really need to work on this. Like, I've been supporting you through medical school, you know, whatever. I'm like, I feel like it's my time and I need to go for this. And so he's like, yeah, go do it. And then the other way is I get some royalties from Cinematic Pop. And so that's another way that I'll randomly have some money coming in to pay for it. And I just put like all the music, all the money I make from music, I just turn it right back around and put it back to music.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so, that's really the best way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's kind of crazy. And I just kind of am like, you know, I didn't really have any money past the first couple songs, but I'm like, I'm just starting and I'm just putting my faith in it that I'm going to be able to keep making it happen. Cause like I said, I mean, I believe in God. That's like a huge thing. That's a really important relationship to me. And I feel like if God wants me to do this and I'm putting in all the effort that I can, then I believe that it'll happen. And if it's not meant to happen or, you know, whatever, then I'm just rolling with the punches. You know, I'm just going with the flow at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. I gotta say, like, your story and how you're doing all this is remarkable.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
It's you don't hear a lot of it where it's, you know, this sort of, I don't want to say struggle, but these sort of obstacles where, you know, you have a partner, a significant other, a husband, you know, what have you,
mm-hmm.
that is, you know, chasing their dream, you know, which is a huge undertaking. I can only imagine what it's like to want to or need to or, you know, go through being a doctor.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, the painstaking that takes, and then the painstaking it takes to be a, you know, a successful musician and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what you're doing. Like,
yeah, and then to have kids, too.
Right,
it's like,
right.
We're definitely not doing this the traditional way.
No, you're burning the candle at both ends.
Yeah.
Holy
so, you mo- know, it's pretty, it is crazy. But I have to say that pursuing this and taking the time and making it happen gives me so much more joy than I think I had otherwise. I think that was also part of why I felt so like I have to do it now, you know, because, and you hear it too, like with a lot of moms, I feel like it's such a common thing where they're like, oh, like, I don't even know who I am anymore. Or I don't have my own life, or I don't, you know, whatever it is. And
Dallas Jackson here with Tipsy Music. Artists, are you tired of getting $5 to play Freebird? How are you getting fans to engage with your own music? Venmo and Linktree are just temporary solutions until now. Tipsy Music is the one-stop shop for live music to make your life easier and monetize your setlist. Tipsy takes Venmo, Apple Pay, Google Pay, and even credit cards, all through your unique Tipsy QR code. Best part is no app to download, so fans can pay you quickly and get back to getting tipsy while watching you do what you do best. Sign up for free today at tipsymusic.com. That's T-I-P-S-E-E music.com, at Tipsy Music on all socials. Long live live music.
And I know that there's a lot of moms who are just very happy, you know, with being just only being at home, only being with their kids and doing that whole thing. And a part of me wishes that was me, you know, like I love my kids to death and I love being, you know, a stay-at-home mom and all that stuff. And I wouldn't trade that, but I need I want this other part of my life too. You know what I mean? Like I need to have a little more to feel totally fulfilled. And so sometimes I'm like, oh, it'd be so much easier if this was like my thing, you know, was just like being a mom. But you know, it is what it is. Everybody's different, but I feel grateful that I'm able to pursue the thing that I love at the same time as being a mom, instead of, you know, 10 years down the road being like, oh my gosh, I lost myself. Like, what do right. I even like? What do I even want to do? You know?
Right. And that's hard. It's hard, especially being a mom of two with, you know, all the responsibilities you have and the, you know, everything that goes with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know, when I was growing up, when I was in high school, my mom went back and got she had had a bachelor's degree already. She went back and got her master's in counseling. She just decided she wanted to do that. And that was like a huge deal to me, actually, to see that she had done that. It made me realize, okay, one, go get your bachelor's degree. Like, I don't care what it's in. I don't care if you hate school, which I really didn't like school. But I'm like, hey, what if you decide you want to do something later and you don't have your bachelor's? Like, you're so much less likely to go and do it. So that was a lesson for me. And then the second lesson was like, you can pursue your own goals while you're a mom. And it actually can give a lot of strength to your kids and to your family. Like, look at me, like she taught me that I can do that. Had she not done that, maybe I wouldn't think that that was okay. You know?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. What we see as kids in the home is, you know, it's really the blocks of who we become.
Yeah. Foundation for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Foundation. That was the word I wanted.
I thought of that because one of my next songs coming out is called Foundation, and it's all about that.
When's that coming out?
Oh, man. I think like the weekend before May 30th. And the reason why May 30th is in my head is because I'm performing at the Troubadour in LA on May 30th.
Now,
go ahead.
How the hell did you get that?
I can't believe it. I literally can't believe it. I was just going down like a wormhole on Instagram. You know, when you're just like, okay, I just need to find people like in my industry, in my area. So it was one of those little like, okay, follow. Okay, who are they following? Okay, cool. Check them out. And that's what I think that's how I found you too, was just going through a bunch of different country artists on Instagram. And I was like, oh, sweet, Boots and Whiskey. But anyway, I found like the country LA scene. And there's this Instagram or this group called Sound Collective Presents. And I followed them because I was checking out some artists and I didn't actually know what they did. But then they reached out to me and they're like, hey, we're putting on a songwriter showcase at the Troubadour. Do you want to be in it? And I was like, are you kidding? Yes. I don't care when it is. Like, yes, I want to be in that. And so there's five artists going to be performing the night that I'm performing. And all local songwriters. And so, yeah, I have like a 40-minute set and I have a full band coming. I got my friends. They are their own band. They're called the Moon Jays. They're out here too in Southern California. And so they're going to come play with me. And then I have a couple other friends that are not part of their band, but anyway, they're joining us in. And yeah, I'm like so excited. It's like going to be all originals except for I think maybe one. So yeah, I'm feeling really proud of that. That was one of my goals and I can't believe that I'm like that I'm doing it right now. I thought that was going to be like way down the line.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, for people that don't know, and if you're listening to this show, you probably have some idea of what the troubadour is. But, you know, for those of you that don't know, like that is like the premier club venue in the entire country.
I mean, some people do know, and they'll call me and they'll be like, are you kidding? They're like, that's where Elton John's first U.S. concert was ever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, I didn't know that. Like, that is sweet.
Yep. I mean, the Eagles went through there. Linda Ronstadt went through there. You know, it is a historic venue.
Yeah. So I'm like, yes, I'm over the moon, excited. I can't believe it. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
So whoever's in L.A., come out.
Yeah. And that's a testament to you and your talent, because, you know, again, it's one of those venues that it's not just, they don't just let anybody play the troubadour. I mean,
looking
at some of the lineup of the troubadour in the last few years, you would think that they just let anybody, but that's also not my taste of music. So I can't say that.
That's so funny. Thank you though. You're welcome. That.
You know, I mean it, you know, it's a huge thing. It's huge.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm trying to take it like that. You know, I'm trying not to be like, uh-oh, they, hopefully when I get there, they're not like, whoa, 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 wait, who is this girl?
Right. Actually, you suck, get off
the stage. Yeah, they're like, whoops, wrong cosette. No, I'm excited. I think it'll be a fun show. And anyway, hopefully it leads to more cool stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's awesome. I'm really excited for you. I wish we were close enough to go, because I would.
Totally I know. That'd be super fun.
The Troubadour is on the list of like venues I need to see before I die.
Oh yeah, for sure. You got to make a trip out here.
Yeah, the Troubadour and Red Rocks are like the next two to happen.
Yeah, I've never been to Red Rocks. That sounds really cool too.
Yeah, yeah. I want to see a show at the Opry. I want to see a show at the Ryman, obviously.
Yes.
But you know, those are close enough, you know.
Yeah.
So like to go West Coast and see some of those iconic venues, and you know, I would even love to go to the Gorge, you know.
Where's that?
Washington State.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar. I feel like I have a lot to learn about, you know, like a lot of times in the music industry they'll be like, oh, you know this artist, or you know this place, you know this whatever. I'm like, shoot, no. But I'll look up the Gorge now.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Dave Matthews Band plays there every Labor Day weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's look it up. Like,
I will.
The views are just absolutely gorgeous.
I'm sure. In Washington State, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, yeah. It's
way
it's
cool. Hot.
So, how can people follow you and do your thing? What are we looking for with you? Like for this year, especially for this year coming for like the second half of the year. Like,
thanks for asking. Yeah. So I'll just start that with a little bit of background information. So like I said, I started last year, went to Nashville last summer. And then my goal was to just try to be releasing a new song every like 2 months this year. So I started, I think like January 1st, I released my first song. Then I have two out. Then on April 11th, I'm trying to get my next song out. It's called Thank God, Amen. And it's April 11th is my wedding anniversary. And the song is about my family. It's like the true story of how I met my husband, and then having our boys and just, yeah, it's so watch for that April 11th. I'm on Spotify, all streaming platforms. I'm on Instagram, just Cosette Smith Music. And then, like I said, my song Foundation will be coming out after that, this summer. And then I have two more songs written that I'd like to record, but like I said, it's one of those like waiting on the money kind of a thing. So
yeah,
we'll just see. Hopefully those will be able to come out. And then, so just a song every couple months. So just if you follow me on Spotify, that's the best thing. And then
of course, we can't forget our friends at the Dirt Road Scholar Supply Company out of Canada. That's drsupplyco.com. They have great stuff. All of the hats I pretty much wear, all the camo hats you see me wear either on TikTok or in
pictures and whatnot all come from the Dirt Road Scholar Supply Company. A big thank you to those guys out there. drsupplyco.com. Check them out. Canadian company. Great stuff. Check them out.
You'll just kind of see them as they come out. Yeah, thanks.
And you know what you've already put out is incredible. You have a talent. You know, there's a knack. It's absolutely incredible.
Thank you so much. And you're welcome. I'm feeling like really grateful and excited because when I first started working with Sal, I sent him like a bunch of songs. This is the producer I was talking about in Nashville. And I was just like, hey, like, I don't even know if any of these are good. Like, you know, are any of these worth recording? And we talked and he's like, if nothing's worth recording, I'll tell you. And we can, you know, buy a song from a songwriter or whatever and go from there. Cause I'm like, you know, we talked to him, we're like, the best song wins, right? The best right. song is what gets you out there. So he ended up picking those two songs that I've released, Cowgirls Make Better Lovers and Outlaw. And so I was like, oh, sweet. Okay. So I've got some decent material here. And then I've just continued sending him stuff and having him kind of decide what he thinks is worth doing. So I'm like, okay. So I'm excited because I feel like I'm getting getting a lot better at songwriting. And I know that it's not, I mean, I don't know. There's a whole debate, right? About like, oh, you write your own songs. You don't write your own songs.
Right.
Right. I feel like a lot, like I saw a thing online that's like, okay, is everybody making way too big of a deal of artists writing their own songs? And I'm like, yeah, maybe. Cause I don't really care. Like if I don't care if somebody wrote their own song or not, if it's a good song, it's a good song, whatever.
Right. Exactly.
But I am really proud of the fact that I have written all these songs at the same time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a sense of pride there. So anyway, I don't know, maybe down the road I'll sing someone else's song, but I'm having a lot of fun writing these songs too.
Yeah, that's what you need to do, you know. Just always just follow what your, you know, what your heart and your gut tells you.
Yeah, that's what I'm finding. It's like you just got to be yourself and just go for it and just one foot in front of the other. Yeah. until all of a sudden you see, you know, that's like kind of how the Troubadour thing fell. It was just kind of like one foot in front of the other. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, want to do this? And I'm like, yes. So it's just, it's exciting when you have those little victories, when you're just kind of plugging along.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And you know what? You're doing it. I got to say, you're doing it the right way. You know, you're doing it your way. You're doing it at the pace you can do it. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody's telling you, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. It's just, I love the way you're doing it.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Yeah.
I'm grateful to you for having the opportunity to kind of share all that on your podcast, because
absolutely.
I think that I hope that it can be helpful to, you know, young musicians or beginning musicians. Like, you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have all the money. You don't have to have all the music. Like, you can kind of just start and things will start kind of, you know, unfolding for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's the biggest thing, is that you don't have to have all the answers right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think that's a huge part of it. Because it's a confusing industry, you know, there's a lot of pieces. And anyway, but it's fun.
Yeah. Good. Good, good, good. Well, Cassette, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't realize how young your children were. So I'm going to let you get back to them. I appreciate you so much for taking the time.
Oh, thank you.
Show. But, you know, family is number one. And, you know, I honestly, I could talk to you for the rest of the night about what you've done and gone through. We will have to do a part two of this.
I would love to. Yeah, I know I'm just like talking about myself a lot.
No,
but you're very nice to talk to.
Yeah, no, it's great. I appreciate that. And I love it. And again, you know, I'd go on forever, but you know,
yeah,
I'm sure there's a little baby that needs his mom a lot.
Yes. Yep. You're right. My little one, he's a little mama's boy. So
yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate
you're
that.
You're very welcome. I hope you enjoy your night. Thank you for being on the show, and we'll stay in touch, and we'll, you know, we'll do this again soon.
Yeah. You have a good night with
you
your
too.
Family as well.
Thank
we'll
you.
Talk to you later.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, there you have it, everyone. Our conversation with Cassette. Absolutely love this young lady. I said it at the top, right? if you just listen to this conversation and you did not fall in love with her or her story, check your pulse because you probably are dead. This girl has the story of a lifetime and is just so sweet and so humble about everything. And I really think that's what's made her so successful. Absolutely adore her. So happy to call her a friend and, you know, somebody to look up to and to reach out to in this crazy industry. Big congratulations to her for everything she's been achieving and all that. So thank you so much for being on the show today, Cassette. And yeah, that's really it, guys. What do we got coming up? We got Adam McClellan. Who the fuck is Andrew McClellan? Adam McClellan next week, next Tuesday. And then we have a good one the week after. That's the Allegheny High. For those of you that don't know, that is the band for Charles Wesley Godwin. I guess technically he's in the Allegheny High too. But anyway, we get into that in that episode. And then we have Brian Johansson from Sugar Bridges. And then our Whiskey Wednesday this month is going to be Silver Belly Whiskey, which is Alan Jackson's whiskey. That will be the last Wednesday of the month, I believe. And then, holy shit, guys, we're in July already after all of those episodes. So thank you so much for being a part of this ride with us. If you're, again, like I said at the top of the show, if you're new here, go to our Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, anything. We're on social media like White on Rice. So go check it out and like, follow, subscribe, all that stuff, guys. It helps us out tremendously. If you leave us a review or anything, or follow on any of our podcast platforms, we truly, truly appreciate it. Thank you so much for being a part of this family. And as remember, wow, I am struggling to talk today. Like I was saying, as always, just remember, here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, as always, it's always about real people, real conversations, real stories, real country. Everything here is real and authentic. You'll never get bullshit here from us. Thank you so much for being on this show, Cassette, and everybody else that has tuned in. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I know I say thank you a lot, but honestly, that's all I can say about everything. So thank you so much. And guys, just remember, until next time, keep those boots on the ground, the whiskey in the glass. Cheers, y'all. Have a great week. Thanks for tuning in. Good night.